Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Will you come? I think we're just getting started.
Back!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to episode 699 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today, September 4th, 2022, a bit of an auspicious start. Pete Chin will be coming onto the podcast live at some point. He was on, I was talking to him, and he said, "Let me restart my computer." That's the last time I've heard from him. So we shall see how that goes, but... on the podcast, of course, you have myself, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter, and Kim Woods.
Howdy, howdy.
You made the podcast.
Yeah, well, you know, I do try. I mean, I know last weekend I had children falling out of me somehow, but, you know, I'm here now and there's no children. So, well.
Falling out of you.
Well, that's what Robin said. Apparently I had children falling out of me. I'm not sure how that happens, but, well, I mean, I know how that happens, but it's, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
I digress. Anyway, carrying on.
Yeah, I'm not going to even go there. I'm not even going to try and go there. All right. Look, if you are in listening to this podcast live, congratulations. You are in store for some fun. We broadcast every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, and 3 p.m. in the Central Time Zone. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. We love our chat listeners. As long as you are respectful and having fun, don't be an a-hole. That's the only policy we have. We are a podcast about video games. We talk about other things, though, life, entertainment stuff, what's been going on. And then we'll talk some games as well.
Well, I hope so.
We also like to talk about birthdays. Birthdays are an important thing. They happen. It just so happens somebody who used to be on this podcast back in the day, he now has been replaced by his ginger bearded brother of various technological. I can't even say that. Pete struggles with his PC. Let me just put it that way. But Mike Chin celebrated his 73rd birthday today. It's amazing. He aged rapidly. That's what happens when you get married. and so for that, Mike, we have a birthday song for you. Pete struggles with this.
You're 1 year older than you were before. You're 1 year older than you were before. You're 1 year older than you were before. We are fucking sight. It was so...
Okay. Enough of that. All right. Well, where do we go from here, Kim? What do you think? Should we just dive into some story time?
Oh, we should, because I've got a Pete update.
Oh.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
Okay, now let's just lead with the lead story, Kim. Pete update is...
He's only at 35% complete at the moment. And he's half tempted to call in from his phone, or with his phone, so... Oh, he's... Oh, and he's saying that, you know, his PC being slow is not usually what... It's not usually what happens. I don't know. I beg to differ. I think it's been slow.
Yeah, everybody in this podcast would beg to differ. We know better, Pete.
Right?
We know better. Oh. Yeah. But okay.
Yep.
Well, we will soldier on. That's okay.
Right.
Whether or not he is on the show makes no difference because we have things to talk about.
Right.
All right. Well, let's start off with... the most important thing we could possibly talk about at the start of any month, Kim.
Of course, right? It's this month's installation of Pussy and Pecs. So this month we have Dennis and Frankie. Good luck figuring out which is which because, you know, they both have dude names. Yeah. So they are Dennis, Frankie. Good day, mate.
I feel like But yeah, honestly, I don't know what. Right? Which one's Frankie? I lean towards the cat being Frankie.
Me too.
I lean towards the cat being Frankie, but then again, you never know.
Right. I've seen, you know, cats named, you know, Fred before, so.
Okay.
Anyway, that's your calendar, your what I pussy. I almost said something else, but anyway, that's your pussy and pecs for the month. So there you go. Enjoy his.
All right, so I will. We'll just kind of go back and forth and
Sounds
feed
good.
Off one another right now, since Pete's never going to show up. His PC is dead, right. And Pete is dead to
He's
us.
He's only at 35%. We're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, we gave Robin the night off, thinking, okay, we've got Pete, we've got myself, we've got Kim. Robin is up to his armpits in wires and cabling. That he has been basically redoing his entire entertainment area. I don't know if you noticed the piles and piles of boxes off to the side.
Right.
So. But he's made good progress. To Robin's credit, he has made great progress on his room. But this has come at the sacrifice of his wife and his kids, which, honestly, I think he's happy to do that. But she was not happy with that, so he had to spend a little quality time.
Well, happy wife, happy life, something like that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so speaking of quality time, I last night was at the Travis Tritt concert.
Ooh, nice.
I have never, I don't know Travis Tritt
right?
at all. I enjoyed the concert a lot, though. Good friends of ours basically said, hey, we're going to go to Travis Tritt. You want to go? And at the time, I was just like, you know what? It's been so long since we've gotten out and just had like a date. And I was like, yes. Who knows how good this will be. But mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. It was a really good show.
Well, good.
He's definitely entertaining. And so, yeah, so that was our night last night. What's the update on you on the kids situation? What's happening there?
Well, I'm about to have a little bit of free time back. Tuesday, Owen goes to daycare. So that will leave my days free. And then eventually, because Anthony, I assume, because the way our school system runs now with COVID, when the pandemic started, they couldn't switch buses. They could only be on one bus because they didn't want to take a chance. If they had COVID, then they'd be spreading it bus to bus. Well, I think it's kind of stuck. So even though I won't have Owen during the day, Anthony will still come down here and get on the bus here and get off the bus here, because my sister works till 7 o'clock at night. So she, of course, wouldn't be home. But anyway, yeah, Owen starts daycare this week. So that means mostly my days are free, which is nice. Which also means mostly I might have to work weekends, holidays, when school's out. So I'm, you know, that's probably about as normal as I'm going to get for a while, but I'll take it. So, and another kid news, we found out Anthony hasn't been telling us about his homework that he's had to do. So he's in a little trouble at school over that deal. Well, he's in trouble here too, because it's like, you know, you could have told us you had homework. I'd have helped you with your homework. It's not that big a deal. You're in fourth grade. How much homework can you possibly have? So... it's only like been what 2-3 weeks since school started, so at least we caught it now instead of it being 2-3-4-5 months since school started. So, you know.
Yeah, but there's nothing worse than he's starting to get into that age, and I'm just going to say this, and I will admit it, he's getting into that age of homework where suddenly the questions sometimes are going to stump you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah.
And there, I there's yeah. last year because they do that new math thing. But Common Core, God. Whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And there was more than once I had to look up the worksheet on Google just so I could figure out what the answer was and then try to explain it to him, because I didn't have a fucking clue.
Yeah, let's just be honest here. Common Core has set this country back.
Right.
Like, decades.
Yeah, because the way I did it and still got the same answer was totally different than how they wanted him to do it and show his work and get the right answer.
The way a normal person does it.
Right.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, we're already there.
Yeah,
but it's all other. I mean, other than that, it's all good. I'm happy to have some of my days back, so maybe I can catch up on things that I haven't been able to, like finish Halo. I want to watch the new Predator movie. You know, all that stuff that you can't do because of tiny children in the house that might pick up things
right.
you don't want. Because
right.
my little nephew, who's 3, has started saying "son of a bitch." So I don't know where he learned that from. But we were sitting there. I was playing a video game here the other day, and I don't know what it was. I'm like, well, I guess I'm stuck. And all of a sudden I hear that my little nephew Owen mutter, "son of a bitch." And I'm like, well, that just about sums it up. So
there
so
you
Head
go.
Start's going to be fun for him.
Yeah, you'll be getting a call from the principal, I'm sure.
Yep.
Often.
Yep.
Hopefully he doesn't adopt any other phrases.
Oh, I'm sure he has. I mean, you guys have probably heard my dad on more than a few times, so, you know, I'm sure he's picked up stuff from Papa. So.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to keep the positive vibes going here. Let's see. So we have a new bike that we got for my son, Colin. So those that don't know, my son, Colin, has special needs. He has no real sense of balance. And so walking, riding things, you know, is a challenge. But so we got this new bike. It's called a Van Ram bike. And I'm going to put it up on screen here for everybody. It's really cool. It is an electric bike. It's got actually two battery packs on it. The front, though, what's cool about it is it's like a wheelchair. Oh, and look, Pete showed up.
Holy shit.
Yay!
I'm sorry.
Holy shit. That's okay. We're just diving into all kinds of things, you know, talking about bikes and life. So this is up on screen.
Why did Pete look surprised?
He shouldn't, but he is. But anyway, so my son's bike, the front detaches, and it's a wheelchair that you can like push through a store, that kind of thing. It's really cool. So we're excited to get him out and just get out and do some bike riding. So that's one of the newest additions in our house. Pete, what's happening with you and your PC?
Oh, my PC has just gone to shit. I think, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I used to be really good at PCs years ago. I used to build them and all sorts. And, I think I've lost touch on technology, and I don't know. I don't know whether it's the hard drive. I don't know. I ain't had time to mess around with it. I've got too much going on. I'm trying to. Well, I've sold my house, so yeah, it's just.
So you sold your house. So let's get off the PC. I won't hammer you on the PC. Oh. I promise.
What a crock.
But so the house has been sold.
Yeah, house has been sold. So we're just packing stuff, as well as work going on at the same time. You know, I've got the gardener at work's been off for 7 weeks because he injured his hand, and he's back at work now. But I've been in the gardens all week, and I've been working like a Trojan. So I've been on the ride on mama and doing all types of sorts of stuff in the garden because he's on light duties. So as well as doing that physical work, getting back. Moving furniture around, putting stuff in boxes, running errands, still having the kids. What's happened this week as well? Mike's birthday. We went out for an Italian meal, and I went to a wedding yesterday. Just a ceremony. I didn't even have time to get to the rest of the wedding. Went to a ceremony. My friend got married yesterday, so that was pretty cool.
Was this I'm going to say it nicely, but was this a first marriage, second marriage?
Second.
Okay.
Second all marriage, right. Yeah. So that was a real big affair, actually. There was a real big church at the top of a high street in a local town, and the bells were ringing across the whole town. There was people in the town that were just focused in on the bride and groom, you know, just making their way in. So, like, they pretty much stopped the whole... because it's right on the high street, you see, of this town. So
right.
They ended up stopping all of that, pretty much. So there was loads going on there. It was a really nice service, actually. It's longer than a lot longer than ours. Ours is only like about 30 minutes. That was like, I don't know, it was about an hour and a half. It was quite a long service.
Okay.
But it was good, you know. But we had to check out just after that. We didn't go to all the rest of it. All the party and stuff after. We just, I don't know, man. This week's just been full on.
No, fully understand that. And I know we all have been dealing with different things. Kim, let's talk about the rain.
I need to know if somebody out there can do a rain dance because I don't remember the last actually recordable rain that we had. It's been at least a couple of months. I'm not kidding you. I have cracks in my yard that are like yay big. You can lose a small child in them, or at least a small cat. And my grass, Dad actually got to mow it this weekend, and that's been the first weekend in at least 2 weeks. But it's all brown and gross and
right.
So yeah, if anybody can hook me up with a rain dance, that would be great. I mean, it started to rain yesterday, and I stepped out in it, and I was like, oh, finally, and, like, it lasted for all of 5 minutes. I mean, it's so bad. My pawn is so low that the horses can walk across it and get out, which is not good, but, you know, Anthony's big solution for that was to take the garden hose out there and turn the hydrant on and let it run until it fills the pond up, and I'm like, yeah, you're going to pay the water bill for that one? Because that's not going to work. So, yeah. So maybe I can do a rain dance and send some rain my way. I'd appreciate it.
We are also going through crazy heat again. So it hit 105 yesterday.
Flipping heck.
Yeah, it is going to be even hotter today. Mm-hmm. And supposedly get up into like 111 territory.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So it is insanely hot. And I'm not helping anything because my grass is still green.
Do you tend just to stay in when it's those temperatures? Because that's
oh god, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you gravitate to any place that has air conditioning. but what's nice is the evenings actually have been cooling off pretty quickly. So it's like, it's gorgeous out. So you just want to hang out and be outside.
Yeah.
Like last night, the concert we went to, you know, Pete, you would know about this if you'd been here at the start of the show, but so we went to this concert, Travis Tritt. It was outdoors. And at first I was like, mother God, we're going to die. But by the time we got to the concert, it had completely cooled off. The sun was just setting behind the building. So it was nice and shaded. And so, yeah, nothing a couple Moscow mules couldn't fix and help me stay cool.
Have we watched any TV? Cause like I tried to watch a bit of TV yesterday. I started Lord of the Rings. Has anybody started to watch this yet?
Yeah. So let's talk about this. It's on my, so I saw episode one.
Okay.
I started to watch episode two and I was super tired. So I just said, you know what? I'll watch it when I can pay more attention.
I think this was our problem yesterday, right? We were super tired and we just thought we want to fire it up anyway just to try it out, but we just couldn't get into it. I just had to turn it off halfway through. I was just like,
yeah.
I was a bit lost from where it all starts, and I should have read into it a little bit more, whether it's like all past tense. I just couldn't get into it, man. That's just too...
Yeah, so this is my understanding, it's all a prequel.
Yeah.
It's a prequel to The Lord of the Rings.
I thought that.
Okay, and it does have, I think, some pacing issues. I would agree with you, Pete. Yeah. There's, it's a lot of buildup.
Yeah.
But that first episode in particular, there's not a whole lot of action that happens.
And it doesn't.
Be prepared.
It doesn't necessarily need the action. It just needs to be clear. It just didn't feel like it was very clear to me. And I was tired, so we kind of switched it up and ended up watching Married at First Sight. And I don't know have you heard of this program?
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard of it, Greg?
I have heard of it, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, there's a UK version and it started this week. So there's four episodes out this week. And we thought, well, we feel a bit brain dead at the minute because we're just so tired. Let's fire up something that just doesn't need much brain action. And we could just watch the drama and just let it unfold, just let it go. So we ended up watching a couple of episodes of that, and by God, it's just insane, isn't it, what people do, or how people are. How judgmental people are, how, like, they've put themselves up for getting involved into marrying a complete stranger, and a lot of the people tend to be middle-aged, so you're going to be bringing some baggage, whether it's kids,
oh, sure.
Whether it's a bit of like a shitty past, whether you've lost a few people along the way, or whether your job's a bit quirky, whatever it is. But I don't, they act like they're supposed to be marrying these complete like innocent virgins, and you know, like this one guy turned around and says, "I'm a stripper," and straight away, the woman just blew up. She just blew up. She's just like, I can't do this anymore. I need to get off the show. And I'm like,
In fairness, I don't think I could date a stripper. I think that would be problematic for me as well. But again, if I'm signing up for this show, I mean, honestly, anything goes, right?
Exactly, yeah. And the thing is, this guy, right, he performs across the world. He performs on stages. He doesn't perform in, like, crappy little strip bars or on hen do's and stuff like that. He's main stage and he does world tours, and he was running short of money to bring up his son, and this is what got him into it, and it earns him a lot of money. So you just think, well, good on him. He's raising his family and he's doing the best.
I mean, at least
he's
not a gigolo or something. I mean, that would be far worse, I think.
Well, so that's the question though. So what's the career longevity here?
They asked him that. Funny enough, it was the mother-in-law. She was like, "How long do you expect to do this? How long does a career even last in that?" And he, I mean, he didn't answer the question that well. He just turned around and said, "Well, it might be something that I'll change or think about changing in the near future." He didn't say how long it could last. But I suppose if you're physically fit, even you could go on into your 50s, couldn't you? If you're physically fit. Your balls aren't sagging too much. you could give that great silver fox look.
It worked out for Channing Tatum, so he was a stripper.
True.
Yeah, of course he was. Yeah. So
fair play. I mean, fair play.
This guy got all the rest of the men like pretty envious, because apparently he's the revealer, so he's the one that just shows it all at the end. So you can imagine he's got a quite long schlong. And but he's a really nice guy. He's like really humble. He's very family orientated. He's very respectful. Even at the wedding, he brought his mother-in-law some flowers. How about that? That's the first time it was done. On that TV series. I thought, wow, this guy's like pretty slick. But his wife wanted to bail out straight away, which I just thought was sad. Anyway, that's
Boomer in the chat, by the way, is also indicated. He had a friend who used to be a stripper. And we can only imagine the stories that might need to be documented at some point.
Yeah, well.
I had to write a book or something.
Yeah.
All right. So thinking of things that were brain dead and that you didn't have to pay much attention to, I watched The Samaritan. This is the Sylvester Stallone movie on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, but it's not great.
It's... the way I look at it, it's like an 80s, it's like a throwback to an 80s action movie, like the kind of like a bad version of The Last Action Hero.
Okay.
Very predictable. You don't have to think a lot about it. It was entertaining enough for about half the movie. And then the second half of the movie really got into like, I could have written it myself and probably done better.
God.
But you know, hey, it made for an entertaining hour and a half ish watch, and I don't feel dumber for having watched it, but I certainly am not going to say, oh my god, movie of the year. I am still amazed though. Sylvester Stallone, he looks so rough.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at him physically these days, but it's weird because. When I really look at him, like, you know, a hard look at him, and it's like, oh God, he is aging a lot. But then he's always kind of looked like that to me.
Right.
So I don't know. Anyway, I mean, look, if you're looking for something to fill some time, The Samaritan, there's worse choices to be made.
I felt like he was going over that hill when he got to like Rambo 4. I felt like
was like what 5 years into his career.
Yeah.
I mean, they pumped out the Rambo movies fast.
Yeah,
I will. I remember that after the success of number one, and then it was Rambo 2, Rambo 3. You know, Rambo 3 was he goes back to Vietnam, and there was Rambo 4. I'm pretty sure they made Rambo 5, possibly 6.
I think so. Yeah, because what was this last one? The Last Blood or whatever the fuck the last one was, and it was terrible. So.
Oh yeah. Well, and I remember there was one. I think it was 4 or 5, but they got in trouble because it was exceedingly gory and graphic. Like they showed like a guy getting a hole blown through his body, which nowadays I think happens like on regular television.
Right.
But at the time it was hugely controversial. It was gory and bloody and blah. Anyway. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to shit on like cosmetic surgery and stuff, but I know his mom had a lot of that, and as she's aged, she's looked quite haggard, hasn't she? Just through, I reckon it, and it was just down to the down to the cosmetic surgery, and he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, you can only pull it in so tight before eventually you can't pull it anymore. So
yeah. So I mean,
start looking like the Joker, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, how far? No. We're not even going to go down the Joker path. Okay. I'm just looking. Anything else? Pete, no time for gaming, unfortunately. Thanks for showing up, by the way,
right.
with that little tidbit. Boxing things up. So the move, how is that going? I mean, you know, do you feel like you are ready?
No, I mean, the sales in the UK last around 10 weeks altogether. I mean, we're only like a week and a half into it. So
okay.
we're just boxing stuff up and putting stuff into bags and stuff to take to the to the charity shop, and I'm taking some stuff to work because I'm obviously moving to work, aren't I? So I'm taking a few things to work now, and I'm storing them all in my office. So my office is starting to get more and more unapproachable. It's a decent sized room, but when you go in, I used to have like a couple of chairs there for people to sit down when I need to talk to them and what have you. But they've gone. And
now you should just stack some boxes and just be like, sit on the box.
Yeah. Right. Or just don't come in. Don't talk to me. It's getting less and less inviting as time goes on. Eventually, I won't be able to be in it. There'll just be boxes over my desk and my computer will be gone. I'm hoping that my director will be gone in the next couple of weeks from site, and then I can start shifting some stuff then.
Is that when you're gonna like sneak all in all the stuff that you don't want him to see?
Sorry.
I kind of thought that was interesting. Well, when my director's gone, then I can start sneaking stuff in. Really?
Yeah. What are we looking? Well, the Cockage collection, of course.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. There'll be a room somewhere. I'll give you a tour. We're like a dungeon.
Woohoo!
Yeah, you call it the gaming room, but we know what really goes on.
Yeah, the gaming room.
Gosh, anything else, Pete? Anything else, Kim? Anything I missed?
I don't think so. My brother's birthday celebration was nice. Like I say, we went for an Italian.
I wished him a happy belated birthday, by the way.
Do you know, he went to Manchester the next day, which is actually on his birthday yesterday, and Tara bought some tickets for Sean Paul. Do you know Sean Paul? Yeah,
yep.
Musical Sean artist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she brought some tickets for Sean Paul, but she brought it for her and a few of the other girls. So it ended up just being on Mike's birthday. So he's ended up staying in, babysitting.
Oh, she owes him big time.
See, all the dirt's being dished on this show. If you turn into veteran gamers, it's all going to be. It's all going to be happiness there, but I'll tell you what the real story is.
I love it. I'm
only kidding.
The real stories.
Mike's happy just to, we've never been big on birthdays, our family. It's not, I don't know, we could have almost been Jehovah's Witnesses. We just don't celebrate all of those things, you know. But there we go.
We did actually wish Mike a happy birthday. We sang him a song. Yeah. 73. It's amazing that he turned 73. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, looks good for his age.
Because he does not look older than you, Pete, but I mean, clearly he is.
Somebody said, I can't remember who it was now, thought that he was the older brother.
Oh, that must have rubbed him wrong.
Oh, he didn't like that. He did not like that at all. Because he's getting more gray hairs now. That's the thing.
Well, again, this is what I've said numerous times. This is what happens when you get married.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some video games.
Okay.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
That song had a little bit of difficulty.
like
stuttering on my side. Like, I feel like... okay, Kim.
Yes.
It's top of the month. We've got games coming to us that we are excited because we're like, these are free, even though we paid for them.
Right.
Let's talk about it.
Alrighty. Your free games for the month, which are actually accurate this time. Last week, they apparently were not accurate. So, anyway.
Lies! Lies!
They were wrong. Anyway, your free games with gold for this month are Gods Will Fall, which is hilarious because that thing just came out within, like, what, the last 2-3 months? Something like that. And here it is on Game with Gold already. It is available now to the end of the month. We have Double Kick Heroes, which is available September 16th through October 15th. Thrillville, which I swear has been on here before, which is available now through the 15th. And same with Portal 2. I was thinking it's been on here before. But anyway, it's available the 16th through the 30th.
The cake is a lie.
And grab them up now, because they won't be free after this, because after this month, there won't be any 360 games on here. So, oh shit, went too far. Hold on, I gotta scroll back up. Computer had a mind of its own and decided to, like, go down to the quiz already. It's terrible.
Well, the good news is there is no quiz. You're off the hook this week.
Thank God. All right, your PlayStation Plus for this month, for the games. Ugh, I swear, I know to talk. Grand Blue Fantasy versus for the PS4. Need for Speed Heat for the PS4, and I don't know if this is Toem or Tome for the PS5. Apparently, it's supposed to be very good. I don't know, but it's free, so download it and find out. Amazon Prime Games for September. We have Assassin's Creed Origins, not Oranges. Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor, Game of the Year Edition. Football Manager 2022, The Dig, Defend the Rook, We the Revolution, Castle on the Coast, and Word of Law, Death Mask Collector's Edition. Alrighty. Stadia Pro, yep, that's still a thing. We have Tri-6 Infinite, Yars Recharged, Spiritfarer, Overcooked, All You Can Eat, PJ Masks, Hero of the Night. Oh, God. PJ Masks. Epic Game Store, we have Knockout City, Armazillo, DLC pack, which is now through the end of the month. Yeah, now through the 8th. Shadow of the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, now through the 8th. And Submerged, Hidden Depths, now through the 8th. And those are your free games this month.
Okay. For the record, I had a panic moment while you were reading those off. I forgot to record the call. And then I looked up, and Kim, like a rock star, you were there.
Well, yeah, but I think I missed, like, the first couple of minutes or so.
Son of a bitch.
I know!
That's okay. It's all good.
At least I remember to start it, though, so.
I will say Amazon Prime, the games for September look pretty damn solid.
Yep.
All said and done, even though, likely, a lot of these games we've played before.
Right.
Can we just put a stake in Stadia Pro at this point?
I know, right?
Again, though, I think they just are going to keep Stadia around. They don't care about new games. They don't care about actually putting forward content. They just are, you know, the hopes you subscribe, you buy through their store.
Yep.
Or sign up to the subscription, I suppose. But I why would anybody sign up to Stadia Pro at this point? I just don't know.
Right? Because you never know. You might wake up the next day and all of a sudden they're like, oh, we've shut it down. You know, sorry. Yeah. Tough luck.
Talking about the games we have played. So I'm going to start, I've got a handful. I've got a lot of games on the list.
Greg.
Yeah. I've been playing quite a bit, but then again, I was gone for a little while.
Yeah.
I'll talk about that later, but, Phoenix Point, I've absolutely still been loving this game. This is my XCOM, clone. It's actually made by the original creators of XCOM. Definitely enjoying it. I've gotten into much deeper into the game this go round. I've fearful that I've gone around a corner that I may not be able to return to, as in, like, I will end up losing the game.
Uh-oh.
But I'm just going to play it out. No more, you know, I'm not going to restart the game again. I'm playing this out to the end. We'll see where I get. PUBG and Halo, had a great time this past week, playing a little bit of Halo, playing a little bit of PUBG. In particular, PUBG has just ignited back again. Had a great time with Snoogans on Friday, and we're going to continue that, trying to play on Fridays right around 8 o'clock UK time. So just, you know, put that in the back, you know, back of your mind there, Pete. Okay, look. We talked about Madden football last week. Robin took me to task because he's like, oh, even football players are complaining about Madden. Madden is a better game than it was last year, but it is still not a great game. It's okay. I still, for what I play, which is the franchise mode, and that's where they spent, I think, the majority of the additions for this year's Madden, it's been okay. I haven't experienced any crazy glitch or bug that, you know, but I don't play a multiplayer. I don't play, you know, Madden Ultimate. So that's the vast majority of where a lot of the complaints are coming from, because the competitive play side of the game definitely has a lot of tweaks and fixes that need to happen. And then every year you get players complaining about their Madden ratings because they weren't rated high enough, blah, blah, blah. So I will just say this. Madden is okay. It's not great. It's not horrible. It's okay. It's improved from last year. The physics and the actual like on-screen gameplay feels better because the actual motions of the players feels more fluid, feels more realistic. But there are definitely bugs within the game. It is not an, you know, game of the year contender by any stretch. But if you were craving Madden, I think you could go worse. And I stand by my point of the tutorial in Madden is exceptionally good for somebody who does not know football. Okay, so that's done. I'm not going to defend Madden anymore. We will move on from that. Kim's getting some love. I love it. Pete, you literally have played nothing except Cuphead. I see you completed it.
Yes. So it was a glorious moment today. We played the same level now for 2 weeks, I think it is. And I don't want to spoil you the last bosses, because I would be spoiling it there if nobody's played Cuphead yet and they want to play the latest DLC. So there's, I mean, it's quite obvious to a degree, but I'm not gonna shed any spoilers. But yeah, we played the last boss. It took us 2 weeks, and we finally got there. I got left on my own in the last segment. Like I was saying last week, sometimes, or the week before, when my son is in and around with me, sometimes I find it difficult because there's just so much going on. It's just a crazy game, isn't it? And then when you've got somebody else there, the second player, just doing all their own thing, you get lost. Sometimes you think, oh, you're that character, especially because you're so alike, and the only colour difference is a little bit of red or blue. So, yeah, I got left on my own in the last segment, and I was like, come on, I could do this. I got 2 health left, and I managed to pull it off. I did it. It was a glorious moment. My son shouted, jumped up in the air. Yeah, he was all over the place.
Oh, so he was there with you, though?
Yeah, yeah. We
okay, started, I thought when you said I was left on my alone, you know, like he left the room type thing, and then you completed the game without him. And I was no,
we got to the last quarter of the last boss, and he died. So I just got left on my own to play the rest of that level. So I managed to complete it, but bloody hell, it's so tough. You know, I wasn't trying to make this like, I wasn't trying to drag this out and die on purpose like you would do sometimes, you know, for your son, because you're like, oh, you know, I don't want to make it look too easy. It's not just you, son, it's me as well. Like, this is tough, man, this game. It's so hard, but we completed it. We just need to go back and complete a few little things, and then I think we'd have 100%ed it then. So we're happy.
Right on.
Yeah,
I would have had footage of Cuphead up on screen. I was not prepared for this because I also wasn't even sure you were making the show. So yeah, but no, I am so let me ask you this: did it live up to your expectations?
Oh boy, yeah, it exceeded.
Yeah, yeah, exceeded. Yeah. Okay,
it was. Yeah. I thought it might be maybe a little bit easier. I didn't think the gameplay or the graphics or that it might slip up somewhere because they hadn't taken as long to produce it. But in actual fact, it was spot on. There was nothing you could fault it. If I had to pick on one thing, I'd say that it could have done with maybe a few more bosses. It could have done with being a little bit longer. But I mean, it was £7. For the upgrade, so you're not going to expect anything too big for that. You know, if I'd have paid $25 for it, you'd have just been like, "Whoa, come on!" You know, I'd have felt a bit robbed. But in actual fact, it was good for the money.
Yeah,
it was a good sell. So, Yeah.
I do love the fact that right now we're seeing Kim's entire family trying to get on the camera. Yeah.
Bless them. I've got to try and get some gaming in now. I want to try and fire up the PlayStation. I've not done that in months. God knows how many updates. I don't know if it even still switches on. In fact, my brother said to me when I went out with him on the Friday that he's brought a PlayStation now. So he's got a PS5. He didn't say exactly what he's. I don't think he's really waiting for anything. Like I really can't wait till God of War comes out in November. November 9th, I think it comes out. So I'm really looking forward to that. But there we go. I've not played.
Okay.
The only thing I'm worried about is my internet service when I move. Now, there's not a Virgin Media connection where I'm moving to, which means I'd have to delve down British Telecom, and you wouldn't know these. You wouldn't know of their connection speeds and stuff, but I hear like terrible stories about BT, and it might take me a while to get connected. So I don't know. I might be living off like my phone connection for a little bit.
Depending upon the connection of your phone. I mean, if it's 5G, it might not be that bad.
No, but the thing is, if I wanted to come on this call, I could probably go into work. Because I live there, I've only got to walk across the pathway. We've got a fiber 1 gig download and upload in the center. So to make the show, that should be okay. As long as I'm not working, that should be okay. So I've got the connection there, but for gaming, I don't know.
I mean, you know, maybe you just need to set up your gaming in your work office.
In my office.
You know, just hide it behind a couple of boxes.
I don't know what my director will say about that. So I'm gonna have to. There's gonna have to be some element of some covert operation to hide it behind one of the magnetic whiteboards or something that screen. I've got to think out the box.
All right. Kim, you and I have both been playing Immortals: Fenyx Rising.
Yep.
So let's talk about this game. It's a Ubisoft game, came out, 2 years back, I think?
Probably. I think so.
Yeah.
When it first came out, I'd never heard anything about it. It wasn't until after it had been out for a while that I finally found it, so.
Very, very Zelda-like.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me a lot of Amalur.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute, I got more ones coming in.
Well, as you mentioned, it's very Amalur-like. I think one of the cool things about the game is just how the narrative is happening, because you have these gods that are kind of talking back and forth to one another about the character in the game. And like when you're in the character creation screen, they're like, oh, he looked like this. He looked like this. Or, oh, he sounded like this. And they just kind of add a little bit of these little kind of anecdotal comments in as you're making choices. So like you change the sex of the character. It's like, oh, no, he was male. Oh, no, he was female. She was female, you know. Same thing with hair colors, choices like that. The gameplay itself is really good. It's straightforward, you know, a very hack and slashy action kind of combat. Nothing terribly complex. You know, you've got your dashes, you've got your combo, basically, you know, hitting X 3 times does a certain type of combo. And you can upgrade their skill trees to upgrade things. Traversal, as you're seeing here kind of on screen, the one thing that they do that I haven't really seen other games do is like when you're climbing, and maybe this was in the new Zeldas, but you have a stamina meter. And so as you're climbing up, if your stamina runs out, you could potentially fall off.
Right.
So you have to like find a ledge, get onto the ledge, rest for a second, get your stamina back up, and then, you know, continue your climb up.
Well, so, I've only ever played the old Zelda, but this is looking more like Assassin's Creed than Zelda. You know, with the climb element and
I could see that. I could see that. Kim, I don't know what you think of the combat, but I mean, to me, it's very kind of hack and slashy.
Yep, very.
It has a parry system. So in a lot of ways, I guess you could make the comparison to like Assassin's Creed Origins or Odyssey was the one I think that maybe kind of feels a little bit similar to this.
Right.
So far, I've really enjoyed it.
I've only played Valhalla, so this is, yeah, I don't know.
Okay. This is on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is a Ubisoft game, so, you know, in some respects, then maybe this all makes sense, why it feels a little bit like Assassin's Creed.
Right.
Did
you like it?
You know, now the more I think about it, yeah. It's like this combo of Zelda and Assassin's Creed. So, I don't know. I'm very curious to play more. I've enjoyed it so far. Again, it's not really taxing. So that I appreciate. It does have a bit of that. I don't want to call, map icon overload, because I feel like they do it a little bit better than the Origins games. Like the Origins games, you get up to one of those high points and you look out, and this game does the same thing. You look out and you'll see areas of importance. But in this game, at least to me, they felt far fewer than what you get in your typical Assassin's Creed game, where you're just looking, suddenly the map is just filled with icons. Here, there are definitely a lot of icons, but they're not as dense.
Right.
So it just doesn't feel as daunting.
Yeah, I guess. That's not as overwhelming as, say, The Witcher 3, you know.
Yeah. Oh, no, 100%. Immortals Phoenix Rising.
I
will
say it did take me a little bit to actually get into it and get to where, okay, yeah, all right, this is all right, you know, because at first I'm like, I don't know, we'll see, and I don't know, the voice is a little, I don't know, I can see where it's going to grind on me after so many hours, her voice, just the one, whoever they picked to voice her, I don't know, it just seems like it kind of gets on me a little, I don't know, maybe it's just me. But after playing it for a little bit, like I've got the first area all done, and I found, I don't know if it's a spoiler or not, but whatever, I found Hermes and done that little bit. And now I'm going over to the next area. So it's growing on me a bit. And, you know, I think the part that really chaps my ass worse than anything is I bought it, and now it's on Game Pass. So, you know. Well,
again, the internet gaming community thanks you, Kim. Yes, we thank you for your purchase and sacrifice.
But so far, I mean, it's good. And, you know, we'll keep playing. So.
Yep. No, absolutely. Okay. What is next to talk about? Kim, anything you want? Oh, the Artful Escape.
It's actually drove me to play this, other than Robin gave it a very glowing review. It's actually going off Game Pass on the 15th. And I saw it was only like a 4-hour, 5-hour game. And I thought, oh, all right, that's one I could start up, get some Chivos and finish in, you know, relatively quick time. And other than that, it's kind of, I don't know. It's like I said in What's Up the other day, it's a good game, but I kind of wonder what kind of drugs they were on when they created it, because it's a little trippy.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can pull it up real quickly for
all
us.
Right.
Is this the one that's kind of like an escape room?
No,
I'm thinking of Escape Academy.
Yep, that's the one you're thinking of. No, this one's about the guy with the guitar. Basically, the story is his uncle was a great folk artist, so he's grown up thinking he should be the next great big folk artist, but he doesn't really like folk music. He kind of likes other things, so it's more of like his story of figuring out who he is, what he wants to do, and whether or not he's, well, for lack of a better term, whether or not he's got big enough balls to get up in front of his whole town and the people he knows and do what he wants to do instead of following in the footsteps of his uncle. And it's got Carl Weathers in it, which was hilarious to me when I found out that's who that was, because I knew the guy's voice sounded familiar. And sure enough, I looked it up and it was Carl Weathers. So here you have Apollo Creed talking about space and all sorts of things. And it's hilarious. So at least it was for me, because you don't expect, you know, Apollo Creed to be flying through space. But anyway, it's like I said, it's only about a 4 or 5 hour game. I think it took me about 5.5 hours off and on. And like I said, I finished it yesterday. I completed it, got all the achievements. Like I said, it's a cool game. It's just, I wonder what kind of drugs they were on when they put it together, because I went into it thinking one thing, and it wasn't exactly what I was expecting at all. But, you know, I liked it, so I guess that says something. Robin enjoyed it. I guess Phil's even played it, and it was one of his favorite games. So
a lot of people really, I mean, it was a bit of a media darling for a while,
right?
As I recall. So,
right. So, I mean, like I said, it's on Game Pass till the 15th, so you might as well try it, and who knows, you might get along with it like I did and be fine with it, finish it out, and there you go, 1,000 gamer points or gamer score, whatever. So, and like I said, there's a few famous names, like Carl Weathers is in it, Lena Headey is in it, she was Cersei on Game of Thrones, was it Jason right. Schwartzman's in it, so, I mean, it's not
they
a bad
have
game.
They have a lot of good voice actor talent to it.
Right.
And I mean, it's got that kind of cool, I'll call it cartoony aesthetic to it.
Right.
What other games have these guys made?
Well, it's Annapurna. So, yeah, I mean, they've made a lot. I want to say was Firewatch one of them, maybe?
I think it was.
So, I mean, they've made quite a few. So, I mean, if you can get over the fact that it seems like everybody wears glasses, which I thought was a little strange, but I mean, everybody wears glasses. So, and there's a creature in there that I kid you not, and I said this in WhatsApp yesterday, it looked like a dildo horse that screams at you. So, you know, if for all else, play it till you find the dildo horse that runs around with Frida. You play the game long enough, you'll know what I'm talking about.
It is odd. I'm watching the clip right now, and you are not wrong. Everybody literally looks like they have glasses on.
Right. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just a town full of people with really bad eyesight, or maybe they just hate the sun. I don't know, but yeah, everybody has glasses. But yes, The Artful Escape. I escaped it yesterday. I finished it. It's not a bad game, and it's on Game Pass, so you're not out anything. Go try it.
Okay. There you go.
It only looks like they've released this one and Concrete and Steel. Beethoven and Dinosaurs, the game developer for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Anna Caperna is the publisher, I guess.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, it's definitely got a unique vibe to it.
Definitely.
It's quirky.
It is quirky.
Thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, right, it's not going to be for everybody. Like I said, I started to play it and I kind of got iffy about it, but I'm like, it's only 5 hours. I can stick with it long enough. And it grew on me. It's not something I don't think I'd ever replay. But, yeah, it was all right for a one-and-done sort of thing.
All right. Well, speaking of something that's not going to be for everybody, and not for me either, Commandos 3.
Oh.
I was actually really excited for this game.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, okay, Commandos seems like no. And it boils down to the control scheme and so this is, I forgot the name of the developer that makes this, but basically, they did a Western game as well. The control, it's not a tactical turn-based game. It is a real-time game. So as you're playing through it, everybody is still in motion. And so you have to kind of jump around and swap in and out of characters as you're, you know, kind of real-time strategy playing them.
Mm-hmm.
The camera controls are finicky in this on the Xbox version, at least. I think this would be much better on PC. Let me just put it straight up that way. This is a PC game. You probably need to play this on PC, I think, to really enjoy it. I was fighting with the control scheme the entire time going through kind of the tutorial opening mission. And I just ultimately was like, you know what? Mm-mm, can't do it. There was one point, there's a sniper, you know, kind of escort mission where you're shooting people as your character's moving along. And at one point, it just gets so far off screen. What you don't realize is you've lost line of sight. You know, your sniper's lost line of sight on your character, so he can't cover him anymore. And so my character just literally got the shit beat out of him as I'm trying to figure out why I can't shoot this guy. But it's because it all happened off screen and it was in real time, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Commandos 3. Look, if you want to play this game, play it on PC. That's my advice. I think it will shine probably there. On the console, not so much. Okay, so we've covered that. I'm trying to think. Any other games that I'm missing for you guys before I go further into my laundry list?
I did play the drag racing game. And holy shit, has that thing got a fucking learning curve. So, you know, if you're going in it thinking, you know, there's going to be a little help along the way, there isn't. So just know that. Because I bought it. It was on sale, and me and Boomer were talking, okay, because I like drag racing. Let's get it and try it and see. So it was kind of on sale, so I bought it. I fired it up this afternoon, actually before I got on the show. I played it for all of 10 minutes before I finally got frustrated and thought, you know what, I'm going back to Phoenix. So, because, I mean, it's an actual drag racing game. There's no helping hand at all. If you go a little too far into the light, you're going to get red lighted. You know, if you zoom in there and then go to do a burnout and get too far, your tires are going to slip and you're going to crash into a wall. I mean, I red lighted, I bet, 5 times in this game. And when I didn't red light, the dude caught me sleeping at the light, kicked my ass, and I crashed into a wall. So, yeah, the game is unforgiving at all get out. So,
like real racing.
Yes. So, okay. Yeah, there's, because you know, on some of those games, they give you a little bit of helping hand when you're supposed to stop at the line before you get to the light. They'll, like, automatically stop you. And, like, sometimes you'll just have a cutscene where you're warming up your tires, that sort of thing. Not with this thing. You have to, you know, warm up your tires on your own. And you have to back it up and get in front of the line. But, dear God, if you go even just the slightest bit over the line, you've red flagged or red lighted. So, just know going into this, because the reviews on this thing were terrible, and I can see why, because I think there's a lot of us out there that kind of wanted the helping hand and thought we were going to get it, and then no. So,
okay.
Because it's like a two, I think, was it, I saw there's, it was like a 2-star game, I mean, because all the reviews were terrible. It looked great. So far, I haven't had any problems with that, but it just, there's no holding your hand at all. There's no easy mode. There's none of that. So just in case somebody's eyeballing it and thinking, oh, hey, that might be good. Just know there's no help.
There's no help.
Nope.
No help.
No help at all.
All right. Well, something that you can jump into, and I would highly recommend, I have been playing a bunch of Mad Max.
Oh.
So even though it doesn't have technically a next-gen update to it, this game still holds up great. And I think I bought it for $10, less than that maybe. It was
just
on sale.
Based on the film.
This is sort of loosely on. I'll say loosely on the film. It's still the same aesthetic. It's still the kind of same vibe, but it's not a film adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
So you're blazing your own path. It's all about the car. It's you're building your car, and it's you know, kind of, I forgot the name that they give it in the game, but basically it's, you know, the ultimate vehicle for you. You have this little henchman guy that is working with you to build your car out.
Yeah.
Everything is properly grotesque. You know, just like it was in the Mad Max universe. The car combat gets a little wonky at times, but overall feels good. The on ground combat, when you're fighting characters, a lot of it is going to be hand to hand combat because ammo is scarce. But you do have, you know, a kind of a shotgun pistol. You have a sniper rifle that you actually put on the back of the vehicle so you could kind of take out enemies at distance when you have sniper rounds. Just overall, it's good. I very much enjoyed it. I tried getting into it a couple of years back. I want to say it was a Game Pass game, or not Game Pass game. It's like a Xbox Live giveaway, but I did not play it at all. And then I just, for whatever reason, I was like, no, I'm going to get back into it now. And happy I've, you know, made this choice. I can't recommend it enough. I've been enjoying the story. Everything just, it looks great. So, yeah, Mad Max. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny how we'll start playing a game like when it first comes out or whatever, and maybe we won't stick with it for some other reason. It just doesn't, you know, jump out at us. And then suddenly we'll revisit it, you know, a year, maybe 2 years or whatever later, and we're like, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's just kind of funny how that happens. Sometimes you've just got to be in the mood for it.
I'm having to play Cyberpunk eventually. What? I still haven't played that game.
You still haven't played Cyberpunk?
And I paid 60 quid.
I love that game. That is a really, really good game.
60 quid I paid for that game and I still haven't played it.
Oh, well, look at, you know, my world. That's kind of the way I am. So.
Yeah.
So I don't buy games much anymore either.
This is true. Yeah, my game buying, although, you know, sales, that kind of thing, I've been much more inclined to buy on. And again, that's where I got Mad Max from.
Right.
Okay. So from Mad Max, we will transition to how about Midnight Fight Express?
Oh.
So this is I'll call it a an isometric beat 'em up. That's really it's just a beat 'em up game. On screen, you can see they kind of have that. I don't even know what how to call it. It's not really cartoony aesthetic to it. I mean, it is, but the characters don't really have a face, But all you're doing is you're just going into these mobs and mobs of bad guys. And basically, the premise is bad guys have taken over the city, and you have 24 hours to stop them from basically blowing up the city. And so you're just continually moving forward, beating up bad guys, and just with all these just brutal different takedowns, you can pick up items, like chairs and smash them into them. You can pick up a gun. You'll have limited ammo. You can shoot them, kill them, pick up a pipe, whatever is at hand. You usually can, there'll be something you can use to fight with. The combat feels great. It's fluid. It's fast. The story's a bit light, but it's just fun. It's fun to feel like you are just kicking some ass. And that's what this game is all about. There's upgrades again, I think everything these days has kind of that upgrade, skill tree, that kind of thing. And so you will be able to upgrade yourself. But, this was just a surprise for me. I was just like, didn't know what to expect. I fired it up and I was like, you know what? I'm kind of digging it. And the learning curve on it, there's a little bit at first. And it's just because the buttons in terms of how you do the combos weren't quite the way I was anticipating them to be traditionally. And that actually, by the way, going back to Mad Max, that's one of my gripes with the game is the way the button layout is on that. You actually fire your gun with the right bumper, not the right trigger. And I screw that up constantly.
Oh, that's horrendous.
But once you get used to it, you understand why and it all makes sense. But anyway, so this game, Midnight Fight Express, give it a look. I think you'll enjoy it. Again, this is one of those where you can just pick up and play, have some fun. You're not going to have to think too hard on it. And you feel like a badass.
Well,
just beating people up. And that will lead me into the last game that I played. And this one, I want to play more. I am struggling with it, though. And it's called Immortality. These guys have already made a few games like this before. But so basically, it's you're trying to understand what happened to this actress. And she made these three films. And as you play the game, you are basically watching clips of these three different films, and you're trying to recreate the films in their entirety. So you're scrolling through these different clips. And so as you're watching it, and you can kind of see on screen, but so you'll pause it and you can click on something when the icon turns into like an eyeball, and it will instantly transport you into some other clip from either the same movie or a different movie that is related to what you clicked on. So maybe it's a coffee cup. You click on a coffee cup and suddenly it transports you to her being on, like the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. They have kind of a Johnny Carson lookalike in that. And you listen to her interview. It's really unique. It's different. The controls and how you sort is confusing. And so when I first started it up, much like their previous game, and again, for the life of me, I can't think of the name of it. I'm sure somebody in the
telling
chat
lies.
Is. Yes, Telling Lies. I did not know what the hell to do in that game. This feels a little bit better in that you kind of understand you're just watching these clips. There's a lot of mature content in this, by the way, like straight up nudity, sexual scenes, that kind of thing. So just be forewarned if you are looking to, potentially play this in front of kids. But it's interesting. That's the best way I could put it. There's something about it that I'm kind of interested in, but I don't know if I really will stick with it or not.
Are there any cock cages?
There might be. I don't know.
I'm out until you confirm it.
Okay. Fair enough. Cock cages are definitely, they could be, I'm not going to lie, they could be in the game. I have seen a couple of clips from some of those scenes, and I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, they're not holding back on that.
I'll go to lock my office door.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, draw the curtains. People are going to walk in, and they're like, are you watching porn?
Right. Well, I've heard this thing has gotten really good reviews, and then there was a couple of reviews that were like, no, it sucks, so.
Yeah. I think, again, it's one of those situations of, it feels a bit like a water cooler kind of thing, mm-hmm. where as you experience it, you're going to want to talk about it, but the replayability is next to nothing.
Right.
You know, I think once you play through it, in my understanding is it's like 4 to 6 hours that you could probably get through all of this, that you're, you know, there's not really a way to replay it once you kind of have figured out what happened. But anyway, so yeah, it's interesting. It's different. It caught my attention. I heard a couple different podcasts talking about it. So I was like, you know what? Let me jump on. Let me see what this is about. And Immortality. It is a live action. They go through a lot of very painstaking detail to recreate a movie set and what it's like filming a movie set. So like you hear the director say cut, and then you hear them talking about the scene and what happened, and you know, if they want to reshoot it or not, things like that. So you get all these little things, and like even the I forgot what you call it, the little clipboard where they clack it and they're like, you know, take one, clack, right? Mm-hmm. Those they've have different versions of that for the different eras of when these movies were made. Because one of the movies is like in the 1960s, one's in the 70s, and I think one is in the 90s. So they did pay attention to those little subtleties, and I applaud that. So cool. Anyway, so that's it for me. That's everything I have played.
That's a whole lot of games, man.
Right?
It felt like a lot. And I didn't talk about all of them. All right. We've got some news to talk about.
Here is the fucking news.
Okay. So Halo Infinite finally gave their roadmap update. And I gotta admit, this has been a bit of a train wreck for 343.
Mm-hmm.
So they revealed within this roadmap, unfortunately, they will not have split screen co-op. That will be, it's being scuttled that they're going to basically take those resources and shift them to other priorities, including experiences we're not quite ready to talk about yet, according to Joseph Staten. And season 3 won't start in November after all. They're delaying that until March. So season 2 will go on for 10 months. That's just disappointing. So this immediately, of course, got a lot of ire from the Halo community.
Oh, yeah.
There were some good things coming. The campaign co-op for online is happening. That will be part of the winter update on November 8th. They will also have a mission replay option within that update, so you can actually replay missions, which is something you can't do currently. The Forge custom game mode will go live and will be part of the November update and be in open beta at first. But, I mean, the stuff I've been seeing coming out of Forge has been pretty awesome. So I'm excited for that to be live. That's, I think, something this game needed from the get-go. They will be adding 2 new maps in November, even though this new season's not here yet. They will add 2 new maps. And then they're also adding, and this is part of the reason why season 2 is going longer. So they're adding a free 30-tier battle pass, that and a game mode called, Covert One Flag. But this three, you know, it's a 30 level free battle pass. Sorry, can't speak apparently. They're experimenting within the battle pass. They're adding match XP into the battle pass. And so this is going to be in beta. they didn't want people to be paying for a battle pass. So they said, you know what? We'll create a free 30-tier battle pass that will be free to everybody. And they are going to add match XP, which is welcome because that's something everybody wanted. Everybody wanted to earn XP for what you did in a match.
Right.
So if you get a bunch of kills, reward me for it. So that is coming with this update. And that will be in beta, quote unquote, until they feel that they've ironed out all the kinks of how the XP works. Mm. Looking ahead to season 3, that will be on March 7th. They're also going to introduce a few new maps into that. One will be a new arena map. One will be a new big team battle map. They also have a new piece of equipment called the Shroud Screen, which I thought was interesting because if it was Halo 3 had the bubble screen, or it was like an invincibility bubble. So if you were inside the bubble, you couldn't be shot, and you likewise couldn't shoot out of the bubble, but it kind of protected you. Well, the Shroud Screen, basically think of it like it creates the screen you can't see in and you can't see out. So you're in this giant bubble. So you could, say, put it over your flag and capture the flag. Nobody can see where the flag is within that. So they have to enter the bubble to be able to see inside the bubble. And likewise, you have to leave the bubble to see outside of the bubble. So kind of could create some interesting scenarios, especially in like a capture the flag kind of thing. But it doesn't prevent you from shooting in or shooting out. So there's no actual protection other than sight. It's like a dome of smoke. And then they'll be adding a Forge custom game browser, some more game modes, and quote unquote fresh events. But overall, I'm excited for some of the things happening in Halo, but this is definitely, it just goes to show that there was a lot of mishandling of the Halo franchise within Infinite. The troubles that they had, I think we can now safely say, go beyond just COVID. At least from my perspective.
Well,
and that pains me because I love Halo.
Right. Well, I'm going to voice an unpopular opinion. I don't mind the no split screen thing because if anybody with kids has ever tried to play split screen a video game, it can kind of be an aggravation. So, because I've got an Xbox in the living room and I have an Xbox in my room. So if me and Tony want to play co-op and Halo, that's how we're going to do it. There is way in hell I would split screen with that kid. So,
right.
So I unpopular opinion, and I'm probably the only one that thinks that, but I wasn't so up in arms over the fact there wasn't any split screen. I mean, I get the couch co-op thing, and that's maybe where people were aggravated, but how many people don't have, okay, I'm going to sound like a real elitist jerk off, I'm sure, but how many people don't have online anymore to play online co-op? I mean, honestly,
elitist jerk off.
Right?
I'm just gonna
write that one down. Well,
yeah,
yeah. Because I mean, I don't make a lot of money, but even we have internet. So I mean, there were times it wasn't very great internet, but we have internet. So anyway, I'll shut up now. I'm just saying I don't miss the split screen at all. Because for me, especially in Halo, that I tried to play split screen Halo. I think it was Halo 2 one time, and I got so fucking lost. Because you only have half the screen to look at, and you're trying to figure out where you're supposed to go. And I about 20 minutes of it, and I'm like, you know what, screw this.
No, but I completely get it, and it segues quite well into the next point on the news. And having that option gives you, especially if you've got an older Xbox, it gives you more of the reason to do it. You know, you give them their own space. You've got a full screen.
Right, exactly.
It's just a lot better. The playability is a lot better, and it's easy for you. It's more accessible for you to play.
Right.
Especially as we're getting older and our bloody eyesight's going, and you've got to wear glasses.
Exactly, right.
It's just it gets worse and worse, you know. So all the smaller that your screen
Now, I will say,
goes,
though, this is ironic coming from Pete, who just finished playing co-op on screen at the same time with his son.
But the co-op and Cuphead is different. Yeah, you've got one whole screen
and it's not split.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a lot easier when he doesn't play. So when he dies, I'm like, oh god, I can see properly. I get really confused by it, and I'll totally agree with you, Kim. I'll totally agree.
Okay, good.
I know there are many out there that love their split screen, you know, co-op, and we're looking forward to it. I'm with you guys. I don't really care. I've never liked a split screen experience.
Right. The only time that worked out well for me is when I was playing Call of Duty, like with my brother, and I knew right where he's at, so I could go kill him. But then that's a two-edged sword, because then he can go and cheat and look at me and find out where the hell I was at and then take my ass out. So
this is it. The only time I enjoyed it was like back in 1996, 98, when 007 was on the Nintendo 64, and me and my brother were playing against each other, you know, head-to-head. And that was the only thing that you got at that time. Now... Yeah. We're in a time where you can give yourself that convenience if you've got an older console,
right,
or you can afford to buy two or three, and you know you can give yourself that own separated experience. I think it's good as well that you can the kids are on their own and they get to experience the online thing, and you're in a different room, and it's almost that they're playing against somebody else. Well, I suppose they are. They're playing against somebody else online, but you're only actually in the next room. But it still gives them that excitement that they can't see the same screen as you. And it's tough then, isn't it? Whereas me and my brother was an absolute nerd with 007, and he knew where I was every time I respawned. So it was just like, but I loved playing with him because he just enjoyed it so much, you know. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that experience. But as time goes on. Yeah, why not? I totally agree with you, Kim. But it segues into the next.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does segue perfectly, Pete. And that is that Microsoft Game Pass Friends and Family tier is gone live in two countries. Following the leak from last week, Microsoft has officially unveiled the Game Pass Friends and Family in Ireland. And I believe it's Colombia as well as the other country.
Yep.
Offering the same benefits of Game Pass Ultimate for you and four others. At £22, so I don't think the exchange is going to be accurate here. So they say £22 per month. I'll just keep it at that because I think the dollars is going to be slightly different. They said that's less than double the Game Pass Ultimate price for one person, and works out to basically about £4.40 a month. It's not limited to family. So basically, the only restriction is you have to be in the same country. Now that I will say I'm going to be interested to hear, because obviously in the UK, is it all of the UK is considered one country, or are they going to, you know, is it England, Wales, Northern Ireland, Ireland, you know, I'm assuming Ireland obviously will be its own, but in terms of the UK, are they, you know, are these just like kind of states, if you will, as opposed to different countries? And I guess that kind of makes sense. Anyway, but you have to be in the same country, the bottom line. So I will not be able to use Game Pass Friends and Family with, say, you, Pete, being that you're across the pond.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. Users in those countries with an existing Game Pass Ultimate plan will see their remaining days prorated. So if you do decide to swap over, you'll get that prorated. Basically, according to the price difference, that means for, say, 30 days of Game Pass Ultimate, you'll get 18 days of Game Pass Friends and Family.
Ouch.
You know, it's not a one-to-one transfer, but it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. You're upgrading into a new tier of service. So basically, you know, they're prorating it according to the dollar amount, the dollar value,
right?
Which I suppose is a... At least it's okay.
But, I mean, the way you got to look at it is that you could, if you've got four people that were connecting with you on this experience, that, you know, okay, in days you're only halving that almost or just over, and to split that between four people, you're actually benefiting a lot more, aren't you?
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
I often find that you never get a bad deal when you're converting with Xbox and Microsoft subscriptions. They always tend to look after you in that way, don't they?
Now, so far, you know, obviously we hope they continue to do that.
No doubt.
And for those in the States, according to The Verge, they believe it's going to be $25 a month, basically $5 per person. That's still a pretty damn good deal.
Right.
So be on the lookout. Obviously, only in two countries at the moment, but it is official. They are acknowledging it. I assume maybe by end of year, this will start rolling out to other countries. Pete, the UK competition regulators, the UK competition regulator finds Microsoft Activision deal could lead to competition concerns. The United Kingdom's antitrust regulator is concerned that Microsoft's blockbuster purchase of Activision Blizzard could create a monopoly in the nascent cloud gaming space. The Competition and Market Authority, or CMA, which began the investigating the deal back in July, says it is not yet reassured by the promises Microsoft has made to get the deal done. It feels that once Activision is part of Microsoft, the Xbox maker could use its control over the popular gaming games like Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, to harm rivals by boxing them out of access to popular titles. This sounds oddly familiar to me, just not with Microsoft. But
yeah, right?
Yeah. In the statement, they said it was giving Microsoft and Activision 5 days to submit proposals that would address its concerns. If those did not pass muster, however, then the office will open a lengthy phase two investigation involving an independent panel to scrutinize the deal in greater depth. Interesting, they only gave him 5 days to respond.
Right?
That seems really quick.
They'll just let his goods to phase two, won't they? They won't give a shit, will they?
Microsoft has enough lawyers. Maybe they could handle 5 days. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I think they'll just extend it anyway and just go for the long haul.
Yeah.
I
just wonder, is Sony money-bagging now a politician to do this? You know?
Simply, yeah.
Why not? Speaking of money-bagging things, Chinese tech giant NetEase, they had originally invested heavily in Quantic Dreams, but they are now buying Quantic Dream. Mm. And that will be their first European game studio. We don't talk a lot about NetEase. We always talk about Tencent.
Yeah.
They will be in the news, by the way, as well. But NetEase is another one of these conglomerates that's making moves. They had snapped up a minority stake in Quantic Dreams and now gobbling up, obviously, the rest of the developer. And they said after Quantic Dream formally becomes a NetEase subsidiary, it will continue to operate independently as a studio and publisher of first and third party titles. So that's kind of interesting. So they're buying Quantic Dreams, but they're going to allow them to stay a publisher and independent, kind of doing their own thing. Interesting. And I mentioned Tencent earlier. Sony and Tencent now own almost a third of the Elden Ring studio from Software. Sony and Tencent have now purchased 30.34% of From Software. I guess Tencent's Six Joy Hong Kong division will own 16.25% of From Software shares. Sony is taking 14.09% of the interest in the interest in From Software and parent Kadawaka. No, Kadokawa Group. But Kadokawa Group will remain the largest shareholder as it stands for now.
Hmm.
Interesting. Sony definitely is. I think they want to have a big percentage of this because obviously From Software games have had massive success in the past few years. And the success of Elden Ring in particular, they see an opportunity. They can make marketing deals. They can potentially do exclusivity deals for DLC, etc. So it makes sense they'd go after this. Any thoughts? Any of these moves?
No, I mean, it is interesting business. That the one that bought Quantic Dream is going to let them continue doing what they're doing. They're just going to kind of stay off to the side, at least for now, because you know how that'll go. Eventually, I think they'll step in and be like, okay, you know. But that is interesting, because normally when somebody buys something out like that, they kind of take a bigger role in it.
Yeah, so. I guess it's all the intent of the company behind it. Like, Tencent to me seems very aggressive with studios and controlling them and kind of having their thumb on that. NetEase feels almost more like they just want the revenue.
Right.
they don't care how you make the money. They just want the money.
Right.
So that's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. And I know, Pete, you love this stuff. So, you know.
I will say, it seems like it's been a lot of it lately. Because what, Embracer Group bought up a bunch of them here a while back.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now these guys. And seems like there's a lot of that going on.
And it's interesting. I think Microsoft inadvertently has hurt themselves in terms of acquisitions, because I guarantee they absolutely don't want to make any acquisitions until Activision is done.
Right.
But because Activision is taking long, they're missing out on potential opportunities. I think that there's a few of these that they would have likely scooped up had they had the freedom to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Activision deal is just such a massive thing that they're having to kind of keep their head down.
Mm-hmm.
Last story. And Kim, you brought this to our attention.
Yeah.
I thought this was kind of interesting. So Diablo Immortal, basically Diablo Immortal faces 35,000 in orb debt after Blizzard deletes fraudulent items. So the read on this is Blizzard has taken action against in-game currency for Diablo Immortal purchased on third-party sites, leaving some whales, and whales the term that they basically use, the big spenders in the games, with tens of thousands of dollars worth of in-game debt. I don't quite understand how that works, but basically the Eternal Orbs make up the primary form of currency you could purchase in Diablo Immortal. Officially, you can buy it in bundles ranging from $1 for 60 orbs up to $100 for 7,200 orbs. Third-party sites are willing to sell these orbs at a steep discount over the official prices, through their stock of in-game currency, which, as we all know, is usually derived from fraudulent means, theft, glitches, etc.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming what this is meaning is these people have bought tons of these orbs, and now all of these orbs are just being said, yep, they're no good.
Yeah, because I saw a screenshot. One guy was like $3 million and something in in-game debt. So I don't know. I just thought it was funny because these people that go and spend all this kind of real money on these mobile games to get so big, right, just so they can say, oh, I can kick everybody's ass that plays this game. I don't know. It strikes me as so strange because there's no way in hell. I think the most I've ever spent on a game was Clash of Clans, and I may have spent like $30, but I've played it for like the last 7 years. So of course that's spaced out over the last 7 or 8 years I've played this game. So that's probably the most I've ever spent on a game, and some days I wonder why, but I mean, it was just little bits at a time. There's no way in hell, because what was it? One guy spent like 25,000 or something on this game just so he could get up there and, you know, be the head honcho. And I don't understand why. Is your penis just that small that you have to feel like you're, you know, dominating the world? I mean, I don't know. It boggles my mind, I guess. I don't understand it.
You took that in a place I did not even think to go, but I was just thinking a lot of times you've got money to burn, right?
Apparently,
if you just have too much money on hand, you start just spending it on stupid shit because you can.
I would say, because this just is, it just seems ridiculous to me. I don't know, but anyway.
Yeah, Pete, have you ever tried to compensate for smallness with in-game currency purchases? No,
I'll stay well clear from it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that does it for the news section. Kim, let's talk about what's coming out.
Alrighty. Yeah, your new releases for the 4th through the 10th, and this one might be interesting to some. I don't know. We have Biomutant, which is now getting its next gen upgrade for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, and S, September 6th. Which I have that actually downloaded on my PlayStation because I have a trial, but I haven't actually tried it yet. So we'll see. We have Tim for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, Switch, and PC on the 6th as well. The Tomorrow Children, Phoenix Edition, PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4, September 6th. Jack Move, whatever that is. Is that like a game where you're moving your jack? Or I don't know what.
No, Kim. No.
Anyway, Jack Move for the PC on September 8th. I'll have to look it up and see what that actually is, because I'm just weird. Steel Rising for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC on the 8th as well. NBA 2K23 for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 9th. And then we have Splatoon 3 for the Switch on September 9th as well. I think that's it.
I like that you called it Splatoon.
Splatoon?
Yeah. Well, Splatoon. But you emphasize like the splat part of it.
Oh, well, yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, cool. Yeah. We got some games to play.
Right.
Biomutant is one that I was excited for prior to it coming out. And then it came out to a lot of mixed reviews. Mm-hmm. I need to see more before I'm willing to...
Right.
Like, I want to see some reviews of this new version.
Right, because I almost pulled the really trigger when it was like $10 or $20. But then I thought, I've got enough to play Game Pass, all that, yada, yada. But then I noticed that the new PlayStation, I think it's whatever the hell it is, Ultimate or whatever the hell it is, it's got it on there. It's got a trial. So I thought, I'll download that and I'll give it a try. So
Apart from God of War that's coming out in November, I looked down the Games Radar site and I noticed that there's an Autopsy Simulator. I think that's the only thing that's a crap me. I don't know when that's out. I can't remember the date now, but apparently there's an Autopsy Simulator. I've got to have a go on that, man.
There's a simulator for everything nowadays, I'm telling you.
Oh, that's mad. But none of these really interest me, I'm sorry.
What if the Jack move is about... No, never mind.
That was a jack move, Greg. That was a jack move.
It was. All right. Pete, look, you have promised multiple times you would play games with me. And I think you once made it to a Halo night.
That was the best night, wasn't it?
It was a lot of fun. It's what kills me. You had a good time, and then you just ghosted me.
It's not like a ghost, is it? I just got stuff going on, man.
Yeah.
All your you're sitting in your office chair, like lunch hour. You know, I wish I could do that. That I need to get a TV in my office, don't I?
This is the thing, Pete. You need to. I think now that you are on premise, you need to transform your office into a work environment as well as a healthy environment for you.
But saying that, if I was in my office at 12 o'clock wanting to play PUBG, right? There is no way that you'd be getting up at whatever time it was, or playing. What time it would? What's the time difference?
I mean, I would be early morning potentially. Yeah, it's 8 hours difference. So, you know, 8 a.m. your time, 7 a.m. your time is going to be what, around midnight my time?
Yeah, 11.
Yeah. I could do that. I'm willing to do that. But hey, Wednesdays, we're still playing Halo. Still happening. You can come join the fun.
I've deleted that.
Snoogans and I. Although we have changes. I need to make this note. We're now playing at 8 p.m.
Okay.
We have shifted this. So it's truly during my lunch hour now, which is actually kind of nice. I feel a little bit better about this. But it is at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. And PUBG also, 8 p.m.-ish on Fridays. Again... lunch hour extravaganza.
That could work for me.
Not gonna lie, we probably played a good 2 hours on Friday.
You lose it, don't you, on PUBG? You just
it was just fun. We've had a couple great battles. In fact, I don't think I talked about it. We had one battle. There was a crew below us, and we were on the upstairs of this building. Grenades were being lobbed left and right. You know, I was knocked out a couple times, but nobody was killed up until we finally took out the team below us. But I mean, it took a good 10 minutes of us battling back and forth. And meanwhile, we had just gotten inside the zone. So we had kind of, and it wasn't 10 minutes, it's probably like 3 minutes, to be honest. but it felt like 10 minutes. I mean, it was just, we could hear walking around. We knew where they were, but you didn't dare poke your head out because you were going to get killed. And then suddenly, like, you hear the distinctive click sound of the grenade getting primed and then tossed.
Yeah.
And we're running for cover. We're tossing our own grenades down. And finally we just said, screw it. We're going for it. And we rushed, we took out the team. And as we start to loot the bodies, another fucking team comes in behind us through the door and wipes us out. We're like, oh,
I do miss PUBG. I do feel like that it might be a little bit more advanced now for me to just jump straight back into.
We could bring you along easy. There's, yeah, There's a lot to it, though. The maps have changed. There's a couple new maps, but they're still the traditional ones, so you can still play on those. So anyway, it's a good time. Come hang out. And for the listeners, you are absolutely welcome to come hang out. If you see me online, shoot me a note. We'll invite you into the match, and we'll have some good times with it. Okay, we're at that time. We're going to wrap up the show. Any quick shout outs? I have a very important shout out that I want to get off my chest that I'm going to talk about, but I'm going to give you guys the floor first. Kim, why don't you lead the way?
Any
shout out to the listeners.
Yeah, shout out to my cat Mittens, because he's been in here this whole entire fucking time. He sneezed a little bit ago, which freaked me the fuck out, because I'm like, I'm in here by myself. What the fuck sneezed? It was Mittens, my one-eyed cat. So fuck you, Mittens. Other than that, fun show like always.
Can we shout out your family, by the way? Because they all came in at one point.
You saw Owen, you saw Anthony, my sister, you know, they were all in here at one time or another. So what can I say? My nephews love me. Which is hilarious, because yesterday my sister was like, well, I'll just leave you at Kim's house. And I looked at her and I grinned and I'm like, you make that sound like punishment. And my nephews were like, okay, we'll stay. As a matter of fact, I believe Anthony did stay. I think he's out there talking to Papa now. So yeah. What can I say? I'm the fun aunt. So yes. There you go. Anyway, shout out to you guys. Fun show as always. Shout out to Mother Nature. Can we please get some fucking rain at some point? And shout out to the horse buyers that come by to look at my horses. Hopefully we hear something this week, and hopefully they tell me they're going to buy them all. So fingers crossed. Over to you, Pete.
I'm not going to shout anybody out because I'm a miserable bastard. So I'll pass you on to Greg, who can close the show off.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, I'm going to shout out my niece, Ashley. She just gave birth to a little boy, Jameson. Aww. So we have a new addition to the family. So that was really welcome, because it's been a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We lost my brother-in-law, Ray. Ray was a great guy and was very unexpected. That has been just really hard on the family as a whole. Shout out to my wife, Cindy. She has taken on trying to look after kind of getting his estate in order, working with her other brothers who are still alive to kind of get that settled. And I will just say this, and this is, I've been repeating myself, even at work, telling other people, all those security questions we answer, you know, so you think about all of the credit cards and the, you know, the online financial stuff that you do where they're like, give us a security question or give us a new passcode, and they make you change these things all the time. Mm-hmm. Document that. I kid you. And I know people are like, oh, you shouldn't write it down. No, write it down. Have it someplace where your spouse or somebody within your family can find it. Because let me tell you right now, one of the biggest aggravations for us, and it's proving challenging, is Ray did not have a will. So we have to, you know, we've been trying to just kind of take care of things outside of having power of attorney. And so until we can get that, which that all has to go through probate, we're having to try and access his accounts by just figuring things out. Well, we came across for his email, he had security questions that none of us knew the answers to. And in all seriousness, this is the kind of stuff that can really just aggravate, hamper your family should something, God forbid, happen to you. Mm-hmm. So I just realized, you know what, write them down, especially if you have ones that are kind of like your typical security question. Because look, if somebody breaks into your house and you're like worried, oh, they're going to access my financials, mm-hmm. they've already broken into your house. You've got bigger problems to deal with.
Right.
You can keep it in a safe place, but have that accessible, or to at least let your spouse know, et cetera. This is where my passwords are. This is my security answers to the common questions. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody will ever know the first car I ever had. Let me tell you, it was an absolute like bizarro car name. You would not guess in a million years that was my first car. Yet that's one of those dumb security questions I always get asked all the time.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind. I will also say to Mark, who has said, hey, he's going to take a step back from the podcast for a little bit. He has to just kind of deal with some family stuff. We absolutely love you, Mark. Take care of yourself. I know oftentimes we get kind of into the dark spaces. Depression sets in. Lean on your friends, your family. Talk. You know, that was actually one of the things also for my brother-in-law, Ray. He absolutely suffered from depression. And I saw the ramifications of that, and I don't wish that on anybody. And so I'm always here to lend an ear, you know, whether we're close friends or just a casual friend, lean on us, please. And I will just say, Ray, I miss you. And on that note, we will see you next week. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.